Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the raw beef of friendship, chopping with the knife of humour, adding in the egg yolk of good times, throwing in the finely diced red onion of chuckles, adding in the capers of questions, mixing all up and serving with the toast of the internet.
What's that?
Steak tartar.
That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own the Dream Restaurant.
Salt and pepper in it as well, I think.
And we invite in every week a guest, and we ask them their favourite ever start, and main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Nick Mohammed! Nick Mohammed, one of the greats, a wonderful comedian.
Wonderful character comic.
Wonderful actor.
Wonderful actor. You may know him from Ted Lasso. Makes the Great.
Brilliant in that. Also, highly recommend his series, Intelligence, on Sky with David Schwimmer. Nick wrote that. Yeah, and is the lead in that. It's absolutely brilliant. It's properly funny.
Fantastic. In The Martian?
Yes, he's in The Martian.
Let's not forget.
He's the voice of Piglet.
He's the voice of Piglet, yes. Of course. 100 Acre Wood, my favourite place.
Yeah, your favourite place in the world. But also, as we say, he's a brilliant character comic. He does a fantastic character called Mr. Swallow, who I think I've seen every Mr. Swallow show.
Yeah, and there's never been a bad one. Mr. Swallow is just always hilarious.
Always hilarious. And Nick is finally going on a proper big tour with Mr. Swallow, so you've got to go and see that. It starts this coming Sunday. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it starts this coming Sunday, London Duke of York's Theatre. I hope there's tickets left, because you've got to go and see it. He's going all over the place, going to Edinburgh, Glasgow, Leeds, Birmingham, Leeds again, Durham, Salford. I mean, look, all the details are on birksnest.com/Nick. Go and check that out. Buy tickets. You got to get a ticket.
Oxford, Brighton, Bristol.
Thank you.
Machynlleth, Exeter, Cardiff, Norwich, Salford, London again.
Salford's a great swing at the old pronunciation there. Have you always said that?
I say Salford, yeah.
Do you?
Salford Lowry.
Yeah, well done. You're the only person in Salford. The world who does. Yeah, Salford. Salford.
Yeah, I would say Salford, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just said Salford. I've never said it like that before.
No.
My girlfriend's from there.
Yeah, she's from Salford.
Yeah, I never say. Go and see your family in Salford?
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 Yeah.
Jesus, I would ask for that to be edited out, but I think I deserve everything I get.
Yeah, absolutely, leave that in. Yeah. We can't wait to speak to Nick and hear about his dream menu for This Is What The Podcast Is. But we do have a secret ingredient, and if it gets said by our guest, we do kick them out of the dream restaurant. And This week, our secret ingredient is...
Bran flakes. Now, you chose this one, Ed.
I did. Any cereal like that, I think, is like, what, are we in a war?
Yeah.
It feels like something you would have eaten in, 19th century onwards until about 1948, and then you should stop eating it.
Yeah. I mean, it's drab.
It's drab. People eat that sort of thing to stay regular, I think, and as soon as you're eating food as medicine, I think no.
Also, if you want to stay regular, I get some fruit and fibre or something. Yeah. That's nice. It's got some little...
Yeah, it's still got the bran flake element of it, but it's got some other fun bits. And the thing is with bran flakes is they're boring, and then if you leave them in the milk too long, that texture is hell then.
God, horrible.
No way.
Very, very stinks.
Stinks.
Absolutely stinks.
Stinks.
So, yeah, I mean, anyone choosing to eat bran flakes just like as their standard cereal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a red flag.
Get some ambition.
Yeah.
So if Nick picks bran flakes, bye-bye, Nick.
Bye-bye, Nick. If you pick bran flakes, hopefully you won't.
No.
I mean, we've had cereals on the podcast before.
We have.
So you know, you never know.
You never know. If you're listening in Australia, I'm coming there soon. Go on website, edgamble.co.uk.
You got to go. You got to go and see it.
You got to go, man. And New Zealand.
And New Zealand, to be fair. Not much on for me.
No?
No, was it March?
Yeah.
Nah.
This is the off-menu menu of Nick Mohammed. Welcome, Nick, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much for having me. Oh, God, he's there already.
Welcome, Nick Mohammed, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I know, and I'm a huge fan of the show. So, you know, you can start straight away if you want, because I've got it all lined up.
Great.
No chat. Nothing about... No, we don't want us to plug the tour. We just get straight into the...
You can plug
the very
tour,
best
you know.
And worst of Mr. Swallow.
It is. It is indeed. And the worst is true. It's just sort of bits that, you know, I've not done before and think... Just padding.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the best of and some new stuff that is less tried and tested, so it might end up being the worst bits of that show.
Or the best bits of the show.
Or the best bits. Who can tell?
But that'll be good, because if what you think is going to be the worst bits are the best bits of the show, then the other bits that you used to think were the best become the worst.
Yeah. So. I guess that's how material develops, isn't it? Like it slowly becomes, like the best thing that you think you've done slowly becomes the worst thing you've done. Is that right? Only if you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, you'd hope that that's how it happens.
Yeah,
I think.
Of course it could be that you peak right at the start.
Yeah.
My mum often says that a thing that I used to do called conductor, which is like a skit where I play a conductor and it's all timed to sound effects, which I think is now almost 20 years old. Yeah. She always cites that as the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, nice.
Yes, well, I saw...
How's that make you
feel? So I saw you
it
do that.
It makes feel great.
I saw you do that in a solo show that must have been 2005.
Yeah.
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 And you'd probably been doing it for a couple of years.
I think it was new for 2005. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, it possibly might pop up in this best and worst off if you're lucky.
But even though it wasn't Mr. Swallow.
No, it's not Mr. Swallow. I'm thinking of doing it, coming on at the start as me, doing it and then introducing the support. And then going off, and then coming back on as Swallow. I think that's if it does make an appearance, that's when it will
open
happen.
With the ticket, man.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then people can leave after that if they want.
I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, this is just getting far too specific now. Because look, Mr. Swallow is one of my favourite comedy characters of all time. Absolutely love Mr. Swallow. If you've not seen Mr. Swallow and you're listening, you need to go to this tour because it's absolutely fantastic.
Incredible. A tour de force.
A tour de force.
Thank you.
I would like to see the conductor sketch done by Mr. Swallow.
Well, I have considered it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I think it's possibly too many things happening all at the same time because Mr. Swallow is such a specific flavour and so easily distracted. And I think it's cumulative, like his constant distraction is sort of cumulative in terms of its effect, I would hope, on an audience, whereas conductor is so specific in terms of you have to get it right. And I feel like if Mrs. Wally got it wrong, that'd be funny once, and then if it happens again and again for 4.5 minutes, people would just switch off.
Well, what if, let's workshop this live.
Okay. I've got the recording
you
on my phone.
The show,
if you want.
As yourself doing the conductor. Support act comes on. Then you do Mr. Swallow. Then during the Mr. Swallow show, you do the conductor again as Mr. Swallow, and they already know how it's meant to go, and then they see it go wrong.
But again, I'd love to do that, and maybe I should try that. But again, do what did as an encore.
Yeah.
But just get it wrong every time.
Oh, that's an encore. Yeah, perfect. End of the night.
Yeah.
Finish where you started. But now you're Mr. Swallow doing the sketch.
That's a really good idea. I'll try it. I'll try it in Reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your mum comes to see it.
Yeah, they're not coming to see it.
They're not.
No. Nicholas, is it stuff we've seen before? I was like, well, you know, like you've probably seen about 30 minutes. Well, we won't come. No. I mean, I'm literally going to Leeds. I'm staying with them. We're doing two shows.
Yeah.
No, well, we won't come then, no, because we will have seen some of that.
I mean, this is why you've turned evil. And spit on your reflection in the mirror. It's because of them.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Referencing Ted Lasso, by the way.
He is referencing Ted Lasso. A little fact for you. My mum and dad were offered to play my mum and dad in Ted Lasso.
Amazing.
Right. So, I mean, my mum and dad don't listen to this podcast, so I don't think that they'll... I mean, I don't think they listen to podcasts. I think so. I think I'm happy to sort of speak freely.
If they do listen to this podcast, let's face it, they'll probably skip the episode you're on.
Yeah.
They're not fans.
Yeah, they know what I like to eat. They know what I like to eat.
We've had dinner with him. We won't listen to that one.
No point.
Oh, what's he... No, I don't need to know that, Nicholas. No, no. Just call me before you arrive and we'll put it in the fridge.
I don't know why it made me laugh so much, your parents calling you Nicholas.
Nicolaggi, because Greek. My mum's Greek, so she called me Nicolaggi sometimes. But yeah, so they were offered Theo Park, who cast Ted Lasso, brilliant casting director, and always likes to kind of honour someone's heritage for like authenticity. And you know, this was at the point when they obviously didn't know that Nate's parents were necessarily going to be in it. So this was sort of... But when that became clear that they were going to pop up in it in season two, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but they do obviously pop up again in season three, suddenly we started having these conversations. She was like, Nick, do your mum and dad, like, would they be up for it? And so I did put it to them.
Yeah.
And like, so they're both retired now, but they're GP. My mum's a GP. My dad was a solicitor. So not actors or performers really in any sense. My mum got struck off. No, she didn't really. Just like, oh God, I really don't obviously I'm joking. So I put it to them. My dad was up for it. My mum was not, and refused for him to do it. So I think it was a shame.
It'd be weird if just your dad was in it, and they had to cast an actress to play his wife.
All in all,
those are kissing scenes.
Okay, Nicholas, I'll do it.
Between me and dad. Oh God!
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to put them off.
I assume that's where it's heading—the resolution with that character.
Well, it's the only way it can end. It's the only place
you snog
it can
your
go.
Dad, and then you're fine again.
Yeah,
he's and like, then your hair all goes.
I chop Ted's head off. Chop Ted's head off. Snog the dad. I'm out of here. Join, I don't know, Liverpool. I don't know anything about football. That's part of the problem, really.
There must be. I always think when there's a show created that has such dedication from fans.
Mm.
If I was in charge of a show like that, I'd definitely be tempted to do something like that and end it with someone's head getting chopped off.
Well,
and then
I feel like the heel turn at the end of season two was sort of big enough for the fans.
That
like,
had an element of that.
The fans
yeah.
were like, "What the hell are you? Have you done? What are you doing?" And like, I get a lot of flack on Twitter still.
Yeah,
people not quite getting that it's fiction, and I don't engage.
That moment where you spit in the mirror.
Yeah.
So many people were like, God, that's so stomach wrenching, it's so horrible. Yeah. And I was like, made me laugh out loud. I'm not sure I should.
You just knew it was me doing that.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I thought I had the take right.
Because I was like, yeah, that's really funny that Nick's spitting at the mirror.
Nick did that to give the crew a laugh. Yeah. And they kept it in.
It was during COVID. I thought, why not? Let's up the ante a bit. It was. I can't remember if it was. It wasn't improv. It certainly wasn't improvised. It wasn't my idea to spit. But I can't remember if it was just something that we just thought. Like Jason was like, "Oh, and maybe do this." It was definitely came from Jason. That Jason and Joe Kelly, one of the other creators and writers, saying that it was based on something that they had seen someone do, like a mutual friend, or they'd seen someone do something to kind of hype themselves up, and they always found it a bit weird that they would spit. Not. I don't know if it was spitting on a mirror or it was just spitting as a thing, and then. I'm sure I can't remember if it was scripted or whether they were like, "Oh, just try one where you sort of spit," and then it became like a thing, which is sort of horrible, really. But
I love it. Have people, has it gone off like off of Twitter and into real life? People coming up to you and being like, "You should be nicer to Ted."
No one being rude. A lot of people, if they do want to chat, they want to chat about it, and they're like, "You've been very naughty, haven't you?" You know, there's a lot of that, but no. And to be fair, like Twitter has been absolutely fine. It was just a bit when that end of season two. Dropped. It was quite full on. Like it was just a bit because I'd never experienced anything like it. And I was thinking about it the other day that you certainly doing. I didn't go to drama school, but I feel like drama school does instill this in you. From what I've heard, that kind of idea that you should just get used to being in stuff that is really bad, and that or that you know when you go to Edinburgh, you should really approach it with the attitude that no one's really going to see it. Everyone else will do better than you, and you'll get bad reviews, and you should approach like that. But actually, and you see, I've sort of approached a lot of work like that. And it is healthy, I think, to kind of not anticipate any kind of success. And no one did with Ted Lasso even at the start. But the main thing is no one teaches you how to deal with the fact that when something actually does kind of become a hit and I'm still not really used to it. And because it's now, it's a global platform and social media and everything. I mean, it's come at a time, and obviously it came at a time when the pandemic happened, so everyone was kind of watching it. So it was just very odd, and I still can't quite fathom it. But it's nice, and it's absolutely a once in a lifetime. I'm sure it'll never ever happen again. And you kind of try and ride a wave of it, but it is very surreal, very odd. And it's just a casting. It's just a casting that, you know, happened to work out. Like, you know, it's nuts.
But I mean, you know what happens in season 3.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be after you even harder?
I can't give anything away.
I nearly had him.
Yeah. You didn't.
I think I nearly had him.
I've been, you know,
I promised I'd try and get you.
Get a spoiler. I feel like, I think it's fair to say it's going to be another roller coaster for Nate, or for everyone, really. I also genuinely don't know if it's the end or not. I think it could be.
Ah,
but interesting. I don't know.
Snogging your dad?
Well, that's the thing that puts me in prison.
Do they up the ante and then you like fart on the mirror?
Exactly. Exactly.
Spread your cheeks, fart on the mirror.
Oh, God. Something comes on out. There. Something pops out and what's that?
Yeah. Steams the mirror up. You're right. I don't believe on the mirror in the fart.
Oh, God.
I don't believe. And then you put your hand on it as you walk out.
Like in Titanic.
Yeah.
Smear it across. Oh, this is horrible.
It's all good ideas, though.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Jason.
If there's a writer's room, get me an edit. Well, we always start with still or sparkling water, Nick.
Yes, you do.
You've got some water with you right now that you bought in yourself.
Oh, well, this is squash.
Oh, it's squash. So I'm used to water being in those kind of containers.
Yeah, this is still water.
Is it a Ted Lasso bottle?
It is actually a Ted Lasso bottle, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nick's got a Ted Lasso bottle
AFC
that
Richmond.
Says Nick on it.
It says Nick on it. That is literally from, like, day one of, like, filming season 3, they wrote Nick on it, so, you know, they knew whose was whose. And weirdly, even though I have washed this every day, it still has, I mean, what kind of ink is that? That's a boring thing to say, isn't it? That's boring. Okay, it's still water.
Normally, I would try and put our guest at ease, but that is a very boring thing to say.
The worst thing I've ever heard. It's still water from the fridge. So we just moved house in December, and it's a fridge with one of those things on the front where you can get ice, crushed ice.
Someone's getting American telly money. Yeah. Here we go. He's got one of those fridges.
It was left there. We didn't buy it. It was left there by the previous owners. But it is nice. It is nice.
Who was the previous owner? Elon Musk.
So it's one of those fridges that can dispense... I mean, I assume it's pure water. It's not just coming out of the fridge. Like, it's sort of like old sort of fridge water.
It's all the stuff that's dropped off like chicken when you defrosting it.
Oh, God. Sort of the back of the fridge, the filament at the back of the freezer, the cooling fruit. Just been drinking cooling fluid. Coolant. No, it's water that comes out the fridge. And then I just top it up with a bit of Robinson's orange and mango. Creations, I think the range is called.
Oh, yeah.
Creations. And I've drunk squash forever. And I'm sure it is bad for me. But I've got good teeth, so I feel like, you know, can't be that bad.
Do you drink it instead of water?
No, I'll have water sometime. And I obviously won't bring squash to a restaurant.
but you can have it in this restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Well, then great. Then I absolutely will have that. Still water with ice, with a bit of orange squash in top of it.
Orange squash or orange and mango?
Oh, orange and mango, yeah.
Is that your go-to flavour?
It is now. It used to just be normal orange. The ones I don't like high juice, which is the 50%, they genuinely give me, like, I think a headache and, like, just make me feel unwell. I don't know why, because I'll drink fruit juice, I'll eat fruit. But there's something about high juice, there's something about, I don't know, the way it's processed or something that, I want the full sugary squash. But I tell you what I don't like is the double concentrated stuff.
Too much.
It's too much because you know that something has happened.
Why? What do you think's happened?
Well, I mean, it's just boiled more, isn't it? Or whatever they do to it, I guess. It's
boiled?
Thicker.
What?
I mean, I don't know how they make it.
What are you imagining?
Well, I think I'm imagining like someone sort of stirring a big vat over a big flame and they're sort of stirring it to kind of get it thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
And like the thicker it gets, the more sort of concentrated it gets. Obviously, none of this is true because it's the same viscosity as the normal stuff, but same viscosity as water.
But what's the point of the double concentrate stuff?
It just saves time.
So you can use less.
Right,
okay. So the bottle lasts longer.
Less plastic. Yeah. But you can get them now in like 7 centimetre diameter, like little pouchy things, which you can then, I assume, just put in your pocket and put like 4 drops in and it fills like, you know, a vat. It turns like a bath of water, bright orange.
You put it in your bath.
Yeah.
It's like a Barocca. So much about
it kind of turns it bright orange. But you can get those, and I'm not into those.
No.
So you're asking if this show's about what I don't want.
Yeah, so that's first on the list of things you don't want.
Yeah. It's a long
list. You've got more opinions on squash than anyone I've ever met before.
Oh, good.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Okay, yeah.
You used to have material about squash.
I used to have some material about squash. Yeah. It upset some people. Yeah, okay. It was my Nate turning evil.
A
lot of people really,
getting your own back.
Really like, what is this?
Yeah.
You're a bad man for saying what you just said on stage.
Yeah,
I'd make fun of adults who have squash in the house and make themselves a squash in the house.
Well, I'm that person.
Adults
James.
Who don't have kids, so you've got kids,
I've got
so you're
kids,
okay.
But I was drinking this way before I had kids.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know what it is. Is it like I just like it? I just really like it. And I really miss it. Like, if we don't have any in, and we don't have any, like, Robinson's orange creations or orange and mango, like, I'm like, oh, I need to go. Because, you know, you can't go to, like, they won't stock it everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get it in M&S. And I only say M&S just because it's down the road, so it's sort of the handiest one to sort of go and get stuff from. But M&S, it's high juice and double concentrate.
We really hate high juice.
We know how you feel about high juice and double concentrate.
We have got some in the fridge at the moment, and I just want to chuck it down the sink, but I won't because it'll be wasteful. But and the thing is, I will resort to high juice if there's nothing else in, and I definitely don't want water.
If you put double concentrate down the sink, it'd be like that Mr. Muscle stuff that clears the pipes.
Oh, yeah, clear you right out.
Yeah.
That's what it does when you drink it. Yeah, no, it would. It would work wonders. I see those double concentrate things partly because the packaging is the same as the. Sorry, to talk
make about me laugh
it's
so
really,
much.
Sorry, really funny.
Sorry to talk about
no, keep on
so
talking about it.
But I feel, you know, when you clean a dishwasher and you had to put one of those things in upside down in a dishwasher, that's what they are, basically. Mm. They've got the same nozzle, the same sort of thing to sort of only squeeze a very little amount out because you don't want to overdo it.
On set, when you're filming stuff.
Yeah.
Is that like your one sort of diva thing where you're like, I need the creations, not high juice?
I'll just bring my own in. I mean, I pretty much always will bring stuff in if I'm filming because otherwise you can just eat and eat and eat and eat. Basically all I do is sit down for about 12 hours and like talk like that, like, you know, just talk like that, which is really lethargic anyway. And you can then just, if you want to, you can eat all day.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very vulgar, but you can't, I mean, but you can just eat a lot. And the last thing anyone wants is for like an actor playing that role to have had like at lunchtime to have like cottage pie, like loads of potato and like a hot pudding, you know, but you can, but that is literally, and it's mainly for the crew. The crew need it. The crew are working and it's physical and they've got the worst outs. But if you're an actor, you do not need that much food. Like there never has anybody needed that amount of food for like doing so little. And so I will bring in a sandwich often and have something small and not try to avoid anything hot because otherwise I'll just be asleep by 2:30 and you can tell that from a performance.
When the first take of you spitting in the mirror, was it orange coloured?
It started off orange and they were like, it just feels a bit weird that it's orange.
We're just gonna have to keep going until it's clear.
It's parked.
Now is that orange because of the squash?
Orange squash.
Okay, I was imagining you'd had a cottage pie.
With like a sort of sweet potato-y kind of finish.
Yeah.
Bits of sort of brown in there.
A bit of mince.
Before we move on, I would like to know what your ratios are of concentrate to water when you make yourself a squash, because you're such a connoisseur.
I like it weak. Like, I do like it weak. Yeah. I'm not a monster. I kind of feel, because I feel like you can, I mean, if it's too strong, because I'll often have like, do a pint of it. Yeah. And now we've got the ice thing. I mean, I will, you know, be generous on the ice.
Yeah.
I guess what? If it's a pint glass, like possibly maximum 2 centimetres of squash and then the rest will...
It feels like a lot.
No, I think it...
That doesn't feel weak to me. That feels like a...
No, well, for a pint...
2 centimetres.
Well, it's medium.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does, and it just depends also what frame of mind I'm in. It depends. Like if I feel like, I should be drinking water, I will make it really weak. Because I sort of feel, I should get more water than the actual squash. But
what if you're celebrating?
Yeah, if I'm celebrating, I'll sometimes pop it in lemonade.
Oh,
and my friend Lee used to call that summer cocktail. He did. When we were growing up, I used to put grapes in it as well. Like
in the summer cocktail?
Pop a grape in a summer... Well, if you pop a grape in any fizzy drink, but it will float up and then float down. Do you know this? It goes up and down. So it'll sink to the bottom. Yeah. Then all the, you know, the bubbles will cling onto it. and then it comes to the top, the bubbles pop, and then it goes back to the bottom.
How do you know? So you never know if a grape's a witch.
Exactly. Exactly. They should have gotten onto that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do that. And that's an official summer cocktail. Lemonade, orange squash, grape. Yeah.
One grape.
One grape. Don't slice it. And I once had it in a lemonade, and like friends and my mum and dad were around, and they thought it was like a martini with an olive in it, but I was only about 12.
Talking about in a dressing gown.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us more about Lee.
I would like to know about Lee.
Okay, Lee is my best mate from home, best man at the wedding. He is absolutely brilliant. He lives in Manchester now. He was living in Glasgow for a while. He's an air traffic controller. So we were at school together.
This all sounds made up, by the way.
None of it's made up though. He's best mate from school. I've known him since I was like 8-9 years old. And weirdly, my mum was his family doctor, but that's not how we met. We were just at school together, and my mum sort of, you know, say represent if you're a doctor and represented some of the kids. Like,
I think you've been in show business for too long. Yeah.
You don't represent the kids.
Clients, doctors and patients aren't clients, are they? No. What would you say? She looked after?
Yeah.
She looked after, cared for. They were under her
wing.
Watch wing. Yeah. Anyway, basically, so there's a bit of Mr. Swallow is Lee. Like, it was mostly based on this high school teacher who Lee was taught by as well. So we still laugh tons about some of like the lessons that we had, which were became Mr. Swallow material, I guess, but which were real, legitimate stuff that this teacher used to sort of spout on about as in English. But Becca and I, when we got married, Lee did a toast to the teacher, who I won't name just because I won't name, but because he effectively believes that the only reason I have a career is because of this teacher, basically. But he is absolutely brilliant. He has got the thing that I was trying to think about why he is a bit like Mr. Swallow, because he's from Leeds, like I am, but he has far more of an accent than I do. And you know, he has got a lot. I mean, he's sort of a little bit Mr. Swallow-ish, but he would do things like he'd sort of wind himself up in the way that Mr. Swallow would. I remember we once went on holiday together. I think we were like in Italy or Sicily, maybe. And we kept on passing this shop that had like these marzipan chocolates in or something. He's like, oh, Nicholas, we're going to have these. Oh, these are going to be great. Oh, have these. These are going to be, oh, I can't wait to have one. He's all winding himself up about having one of these. But the shop was always closed. Oh, get me in there. I'm going to have one of these. Oh, I can't wait to have one of these. And he got one and he bought one. I'm only laughing because other friends of mine who were on that holiday, I know, listen to this and they all absolutely relate to it. But he bought one and it was massive. It was like the size of like a toffee apple. Like, it was really thick, like a sphere of like marzipan, basically. And he unwrapped it in the cellophane. He's like, oh, and he used this phrase, like, oh, Nicholas. And I would never say something like this, but he's like, oh, Nicholas, this is sex on legs. This, you just wait, oh, look at it. And he took a massive bite out of it. Was literally almost like sick. I was like, ugh, no, never again. Oh, no, never again. Absolutely not. And like threw it in the bin, made a huge kind of drama out of it. I mean, it's just very Mr. Swallow to kind of be very kind of into something and like go from like 0 to 100 in the space of like 5 seconds.
And then be
instantly switch, like, an opinion about it and then never have it again for his whole life.
Yeah.
Like, to have written it off that quickly.
That's the banana. That's Mr. Swallow and the banana.
That's effectively what the banana came from.
Yeah.
Was Lee doing that to some marzipan sweets.
One of the things I've laughed at most in an Edinburgh show.
You're very
I remember
correct.
Sitting there.
Yeah, Mr. Swallow and the banana.
Mr. Swallow peeling a banana throughout a whole setup for a bit. Then biting into it, and then you realise as an audience member that Mr. Swallow's never had a banana before.
We don't know what it is.
And you go, oh, have you had one of them? I just really like, I asked us all, like, have you had one of them?
I've tried to do it since that show and can't quite get the rhythm of it right. And so I've stopped doing it, weirdly. Because it was a fun, I remember it being quite a fun bit, and it was a bit that comics liked, definitely. Yeah. But I can't quite get the rhythm of it right. So I've sort of thinking, oh, should I put it in something? And then I've never quite got it right.
Yeah,
so.
And as a bit, if you can't get the rhythm right or it doesn't do well, you look insane.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it either looks real.
Yeah.
People think I'm genuinely mad. Or it just looks like a bad bit, like a bit of business which hasn't quite worked out.
Poplums or bread? Poplums or bread, Nick Mohammed? Poplums or bread?
Poppadoms, James. Poppadoms, James. It has to be Poppadoms.
Yeah.
I don't want to fill up on bread. I mean, I know everyone says it. And I'm also I love crisps. And Poppadoms are very close to crisps. And you can never fill up on Poppadoms, I don't think. I think it's possible to. So I would...
No, I don't think anyone's had the chance.
Mm.
Because you only get, like, what, maximum two each?
If you're eating out, sure, but you can buy a bag of those, those mini ones. We do that a lot. Yeah. My wife can eat, can devour literally one of those big bags in, like, less than 5 minutes. She did tell me, don't say that.
specifically?
Well, she did not that specifically. She said, don't talk about how much I eat on the podcast. But it's not just her. It's both of us.
Yeah.
We can eat so much food. Mm-hmm. And we do value quantity over quality when it comes to
it's very rare that people say that
on this podcast. We absolutely eat so much. I mean, we've eaten out, Ed. I feel like, and we probably ate out more in our student days, so obviously
I was very much a quantity guy back then.
Yes, as was I. I would occasionally go to Wetherspoons and pretend there was someone else coming to join us so I could order another one, because they just weren't big enough. And I would, like, legitimately just be like, oh, and they're having... And I put, like, a coat or something over the seat to make it look like... Not that I was ashamed,
would
but
you
I just
then go to the toilet and come back as a different character? Is that how it started?
No, but I should have
done like,
that.
I'm quite good at this.
Mr. Swallow comes out.
No. But,
oh, my God, what's that?
There's an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever... You know Mark Wootton's character, Shirley Ghostman? Have you ever seen it? I would encourage everyone to see it. It is so funny.
High Spirits with Shirley Ghostman is one of... The great TV shows.
It was probably about 20 years old now, right? It's him playing a psychic sort of entertainer kind of guy.
Shout out to Mark Wootton's kids, by the way. They listen to this.
Oh,
do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I bumped into Mark Wootton and he told me off.
And Babs Wiltshire as well. He's brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant director, Babs. Yeah.
Bumped into both of them. And but Babs was very nice about, you know, the kids listened to it. But Mark was like, they just never listen to us now. It's got you in their fucking ears.
Oh.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, so shout out to the kids. They're listening to this.
Shout out to the
your
kiddies.
Dad's probably talking to you right now.
Well, Mark Wootton's that character, I mean, Mark in general is just incredible, but that character in particular, so funny. And he did a thing, and I think this is still on YouTube, because there's quite a lot of kind of sort of candid camera stuff about it, wasn't it? He was doing it for real on unsuspecting members of the public. But there's one bit where he goes for dinner and it's just a table for two, and he says he's going for dinner with Princess Diana, the spirit of Princess Diana, and he tells the waiter that, oh, Princess Diana's with me, and he's quite camp as well, and he orders for her, and he's like, what are you having? And he orders for her and eats both meals and chat, like, just has a conversation, and it is absolutely priceless.
Yeah,
so as I guess
so
it was,
funny. My new best friend as well.
Oh,
punt that out.
La La Land.
La La Land, brilliant.
Absolutely
as well.
Brilliant. He's phenomenal.
My nephews watched Nativity for the first time.
Yes.
And one of my nephews really likes people to follow the rules and behave themselves.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely furious with Mr. Poppy.
Yeah, because he does not play by the rules.
He was like, Mr. Poppy should get fired because his behaviour is irresponsible and he's supposed to be looking after these children.
Yeah, and he makes the same mistakes for three films, basically.
Yeah, yeah, he was furious at Mr. Poppy watching that film. Do you want dips of these poppadoms?
Yeah, I'll have dips. I'll have...
You eat so many poppadoms, we should call you Mr. Poppy.
Yeah,
great. Mr. Poppy Dom.
Becca claimed that one of friends of hers came up with phrase, just poppadom down there. And I was like, no, I mean, I think it was Rowan Atkinson. I think it was Rowan Atkinson. if not, maybe somebody else.
Come on.
Oh, God, James. All right, yeah. Come on.
I mean, I don't even know who the fuck Becca is. I'm guessing it's your wife.
It's my wife, and she's absolutely brilliant. She is just phenomenal. Anyway, what were we saying? Poppadoms, dips. I would have the raita. I'd have the... I quite like all the oniony stuff. Mm-hmm, if you get a takeaway, I love opening like the cellophane bags of salad. I'll have all of that.
Yeah.
It's sort of the only time I would probably have salad is with a curry.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's mainly onion, really, isn't it?
It's 100% onion.
I feel like calling it salad is a stretch.
It's onion. There's usually a bit of lettuce in there, and I won't really have that. And there's like half a tomato, usually, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Wouldn't ever put some salad in a summer cocktail, watch it float up and down?
No, not a summer cocktail. No, it's very much a sweet thing rather than a savory thing. A summer cocktail. I do love them. You got to just do it. Just try it. Yeah. It'll be delicious.
Yeah.
it's just sort of nicer than Fanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big claim.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can, but the thing is, literally, the world's your oyster, because it can be choose any of those Robinson's flavours.
Yeah.
It's a different summer cocktail.
I mean, you say the world's your oyster, you are limited to the Robinson's.
You're limited to the range,
And I guess two types of grape.
Yeah. Two types of lemonade. Yeah.
Are we going the clear one and the cloudy?
No, never cloudy. You're always never cloudy clear, once you won't cocktail. See your grape.
And the funds ruined.
And then the funds ruined because you don't know if it's gone up or down.
I think that's more exciting. Mm. You just look at the surface.
You just see it.
Timing it.
And what's nice at the very end, you finish your summer cocktail. Mm. Usually there's a little bit of ice left and the grape at the bottom. So you wait for the ice to dissolve. And then you have the grape at the very end, like you would, I guess, a martini. Is that right? You'd have the olive at the end of a martini?
No, you'd
have it at the start.
Well, if there's like three.
How long are you making it last?
I'd have a sip. I'd have an olive, then I'd maybe have a couple more sips, then another olive, and I'd have one olive at the end.
Oh, okay, because you want the salt. But the fun thing that you can do with the grape at the end is that, or you can convince yourself that it has absorbed some of the lemonade. So you can convince yourself that the grape is fizzy.
But you know that's not true.
But you know it's not true, it's just psychosomatic.
Yeah.
Because it's all fizzy.
So then when you eat it, do you genuinely trick your brain?
Yeah, you feel
brain?
Like you need to kind of burp. Yeah. Kind of like, oh, I've had a really sort of a big grape, like a grape that's full of gas.
Big fizzy grape.
Yeah.
If we could, for this menu, genuinely source you, magic you up with genie powers, a grape that's full of lemonade, would you like that?
I'd pop one in the summer cocktail, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd absolutely pop one in.
Yeah.
And I'd have it as like a free refill. Like, I love the free refill sort of thing. Yeah. I love it.
So you got your orange and mango squash at the start instead of the water.
Mm.
But now as the meal starts, do you want it to be refillable summer cocktails?
No, actually. I'm already switching because I'm having wine, aren't I?
I don't know.
Yeah, I am.
are we jumping ahead to your drink course now?
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't want to.
No, let's not jump ahead.
Let's not jump ahead.
A little clue there.
We won't jump ahead, but I've got...
I'm very having
specific.
Wine, aren't I?
Well, I am having wine, but I'll have something very specific with wine, and we'll get onto that later if you like.
Your dream starter.
Right, okay. So, we're eating at home.
Oh.
We're not eating out. Okay. If we were eating out, it would be deep-fried mozzarella carosa. It would be deep-fried mozzarella.
Uh-huh.
Again, and similar to the poppadoms, I don't think you can really fill up on it. I mean, I know it's rich because it's deep-fried cheese, but you can never... It's not. There's something about it, the squeakiness of it, I don't know. The fact that you never get tons of it unless you're in, I don't know, like Budapest. I remember once going to Budapest and I ordered it as a starter and it was like, I mean, it could sort of feed a family of four. But
I know you're not an observational comic as such, Nick. Yes.
No.
Mainly because of sentences like, you never get tons of fried mozzarella unless you're in Budapest.
Yeah. Like a weird line from a Marvel film, like Black Widow would say that.
Okay, that's good.
So funny.
But I would say...
Unless you're in Budapest or something.
Well, it's the only place I've had it where I've just had so much that I can't finish it. Or it's prevented me from finishing
it. Is it a holiday?
It was a stag do, but not. It wasn't the kind of guy who wanted like a Larry sort of stag do-y kind of thing. So it was a very civilised European city break.
Yeah, the only person who chucked up was you because you ate too much fried mozzarella.
I remember at the end, even though we were only there for 3 nights, really craving some sort of green sort of vegetable. But there's a lot of deep fried cheese and stuff, which I did eat a lot of. But I would have that from...
Was Lee there?
Lee wasn't there, no. There's a different bunch of friends. This was friends from Durham. Although, actually, weirdly, him and Lee did know each other because they both were in Doncaster for a while. And so they have met.
But didn't get invited?
No, not to the stag do. No, we don't know him that well. But they did know each other at our wedding, I said our wedding and gesture to Ed.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Did you not know?
I didn't know. That's nice.
News to Becca as well. What were we saying? So I would have ordered deep fried cheese if I was eating out. Mm. And my rule for eating out is usually... only order something that I would never make at home, which I think makes sense. Or something I couldn't make at home or just wouldn't have the time for or wouldn't have the skills to.
I think you can make deep fried mozzarella at home.
But it's a psychological barrier for me.
Yeah.
I'd have to get a load of kit. I'd have to get it all lined up. I'd have to know what I'm doing. I mean, I just don't have the time.
That's cooking.
I know. I know, and it is bad. And I should sort of put aside more time for cooking. But we got two kiddies and another one on the way. I mean,
we don't want to be deep frying with...
We can't be deep frying in that
kids
kitchen.
Kids in the house.
No.
Especially if you're doing Budapest quantities.
Yeah, well, yeah. It is delicious though, and maybe we should just get... And we don't have a deep fat fryer.
Mm.
Could get one.
I think this... I mean, I might be wrong. You've got a better memory than me.
Uh-huh.
I think this might be the first time in however many episodes that someone's chosen the dream restaurant just to be in their house.
Yeah, I think it is.
Is it?
Actually, yeah. And... also, not only have you chosen it to be in your house, so that's the location, but you're also saying, from what I gather, that you want food that you could make at home, so you don't want to be in your home, but you'll have the deep-fried mozzarella because it's dream restaurant magical stuff. You're going, nope, I still want the practical, like the restrictions that come with being at home.
Oh, I see.
And just to have the home-cooked meal as
Yes. I'm because I am thinking as well, slight ease, because I'm assuming I'm cooking it members are cooking it.
You're asking us this like we've decided it. This is all on you.
That's very true, yeah. No, but...
So if you want to be cooking
this meal... No, I'm not deviating.
You stick to your guns.
Yeah. So really, what I'm saying is, so deep-fried mozzarella aside, it's what I call tortilla lasagna. So it's basically, it's Doritos, so nice big white dish. No, it don't have to be a white dish. It could be any dish. Like a glass, what are they called? Pyrex dish. Big Pyrex dish, a layer of Doritos, cheese, layer
nacho.
Of Doritos.
This is nachos, Nick.
Yeah. Cheese. Say again?
This is nachos.
No, carry on.
Yeah, well, it's nachos. Yeah, but like tortilla lasagna.
Sorry,
carry on.
And then obviously jalapenos and then all the different sort of sauces. Yeah. And this is the... I think the surprise is that if you put the sour cream in the oven, it doesn't melt. Like, you'd think it'd melt or something. It doesn't. It's sort of hot sour cream, which is
So you put the sour cream on before you put the tortilla lasagna in
there? No, I pop the layers of the cheese and the tortillas sort of, you know, they'll go in for however long they're going for, five minutes.
Yeah.
And then bring it out, add the sauces on, a bit more cheese and the jalapenos, and then pop it back in again for another 5 minutes and then dive in. Love it.
Tortilla lasagna.
And if you want to go fancy, you can put a bit of chorizo in it and stuff.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Do you want to go fancy?
Are you going to go fancy for your dream menu?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah. Well, what layer is the chorizo on?
Oh, it's not its own layer. It's just sprinkled on top. Well, so I guess it's top layer.
So top.
Yeah.
Is this a hit with the whole family? The tortilla lasagna?
Becca and I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Kids, they wouldn't touch it.
No.
No, they're too young. We won't let them eat things like that.
So the image I'm getting of your home life now is them, you know, they get something else.
They're quite plain. They do eat quite plain food, actually.
Watch you and your wife
eat
for, I'd say, upwards of 3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It takes us a while.
Yeah.
And what's good about it is that it can take you a long time to eat it.
Mm.
Partly because of the sheer quantity.
Yeah, the kids have finished their little bag of baby carrots.
Yeah.
Mummy and daddy. Mummy and daddy are eating our tortilla lasagna.
I think they're called nachos. Because it's one of those, because you can't make a small quantity either, really. You can only make a big quantity of that. Well, I'm sure that's not true, but I'm saying it's true.
Yeah, it's not true at all.
No, I'm saying it's true.
Yeah, it's up to you, isn't it, how big the quantity is?
Yeah. But I feel like you can eat it over a nice long period of time. It's just nice that the cheese just sort of glues everything together.
Cheddar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. We will occasion, and again, it is just laziness, and I do apologise for this, but we will, and because it's packaging as well, but we will occasionally buy those bags of already grated cheddar and mozzarella.
What
I know, just grate it at home, Ed.
This is ridiculous.
I know. We will buy, and we'll be, you know, very heavy-handed with it as well. talking a couple of bags.
What flavour Doritos are you using in the tortilla lasagna?
Cool flavour.
Cool original.
Cool flavour. There's a very nice brand that Becca loved and then I think fell out of love with. I can't remember why. Which were like a manchego and olive.
Manamasa.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. A thicker, squarer, cheesier.
They taste healthier as well, I think.
They taste healthier. Are they healthier? Don't know.
No idea, probably not.
No, probably not. And you probably get less in the packet than your normal pack of Doritos. Mm. And so you could use those and it would feel quite luxury, but then it's a lot of cheese then, I think.
Mm.
Yes, a lot of cheese. Yeah. I don't know why I'm finding every single detail so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's great.
Really laughing. I don't know why.
For me, it's just the fact the kids don't touch it.
Yeah.
Kids wouldn't touch it. No, but if we presented that to the kids, to be fair, they're very good at trying stuff, but they would like everything separated. Mm. So they would probably try every aspect of it, but they wouldn't want it together. So if they have baked beans or something, they always want them separate in a little pot on the side. And like, if they want cheese with something, it'll be like a slice of cheese separate, rather than, say, grated and melted into stuff.
And they all like
even though
this.
They like pizza, it's weird.
All of your kids.
Both of them
it all separated.
Yeah, but then they're individually quite fussy. So they are, you know, Arthur will want grated with his pasta. Finn would like a slice of cheese on the side. And like Finn will have like tomatoes with pasta. Finn will have sweet corn. So it's kind of like, you know, they mix
a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
It's interesting that cheese and beans have come up, Nick.
I love cheese and beans.
Yeah, I really associate cheese and beans with you.
Do you?
Well, because every time we would go back to Durham to do a show or something, Nick would be so excited
about... I'd always bring my own cheese and beans.
Fine, the show's going to happen, whatever. Yeah. It's like, we'll do the show. Just so excited to go and get sausage, chips, cheese and beans.
Afterwards, always. And it's so still excited. One of my favourite meals. We were at one point we were going to have that as our meal at the wedding, just sausage, chips and beans, because I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Still love it. Would eat it if it could be, you know, the one meal you had to eat forever.
Yeah.
That beans on toast with cheese on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, or pesto pasta. That's different.
Are any of those your dream main course?
No.
No.
Do you remember?
For some reason?
No, I've just put them right at the top.
They're the three.
And said
that
they're the only things I would ever eat forever, and they're not even at the top.
So I have a distinct memory of going out for lunch with you once, and you wanted sausage, chips, and beans.
It came in a dog bowl. Now listen, I thought this might come up. I still sometimes eat out of a dog bowl.
What?
Now when we say dog bowl, let's be honest, Ed, it was a gimmick. Like that plate. Was it Mambo? What was it called?
Varsity,
that's it.
Yeah.
It was a gimmick. They were like, oh, and it's whatever, it's a full English breakfast, and it's served in a dog bowl. Like the idea of a dog bowl obviously puts in people's minds a big slabbery dog's eating out of it, and then they just putting your food in it and you gotta eat it like a dog. Like it is just a way of serving
you know.
You can fit a bit more into it.
You don't know what happened.
Well, I assume it was clean. Anyway,
probably cleaned it after the dog had eaten out of it, but it doesn't mean that that hadn't happened in the past.
And you say people are going, oh, are you assuming you have to eat it like a dog? I think you did.
Oh, I think I did for the photos, yes. Sure. I mean, we literally have photos of it. Anyway, so we've got a big silver bowl at home.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'm sort of like mixing sort of like pasta. And this is like, you've got to remember, like, we're very tired. Yeah. Like, we've sort of cleaned the house. The kids are down finally. And we're like, we're catching up, Becca and I, and we're about to watch like Happy Valley or something. And I'm sort of like putting pasta in a bowl and sort of stirring it all up and mixing. And I just think, I'm just going to eat it out of this because we're at home. There's no point in putting it in another bowl,
This is a dog bowl.
Well, it's a silver bowl. I think it's a bit too deep to be called a dog bowl, really.
But it looks like a dog bowl.
It's got a paw on it.
It's got paw. Prints
got
on
engraved
it.
Of a bone.
We
on
bought
it.
we bought it from Pets. we're calling it dog bowl. But it is. And I just think, and again, it's possibly a quantity thing. You can fit a bit more in there than your average bowl. And I only say that because I just don't want to get up again once I've sat down.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to put it in another bowl, then have to eat out of that, then go back to the original bowl and put more. It's just too many spoons. It's too many bowls.
Also, you're kidding yourself. I do that. I make, you know, if my wife's out, I'll make a meal. It's clearly two servings.
Oh, yeah.
Put one serving in a little bowl, go through to the sitting room, sit down, eat that one serving, immediately back to the... Yeah. Why do I even bother doing that? I need a big dog bowl and just eat it out like an animal.
Absolutely no point.
Yeah.
Eat it like an animal. If there's any left, that's a bonus. Put that in a bowl.
Yeah.
If you've not eaten it.
Put that in a bowl, put it in the fridge, eat it before I go to bed.
Yeah, lovely.
But anyway, I can't remember how we got to that. But cheese and beans, absolutely bliss.
Yes.
Absolutely bliss.
From Dirty Jane's.
Dirty Jane's?
Well, that was the name of... That was the name of the... I want to call it... It's not a tuck shop. What do you call it?
Like takeaway?
Takeaway, yeah.
What is the matter with you?
I don't know. Very tired, James.
Doctors representing people?
Dirty Jane's was the one outside Clute, wasn't the one just up from Clute, where you'd come out of the club, you'd be very hungry because of all that dancing, and you'd order sausage, chips and beans. It's the only way to end a night. Yeah. And we would just walk home and eat and chat.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, what would
you
chat
about?
And you
could cover it in that garlic sauce.
Yeah.
I remember, Ed, the last time we probably went to Durham together and we're gigging and we were sharing a travel lodge. I remember we both woke up in that travel lodge and we're like, what's that smell? And it was the smell of our takeaways.
Yeah.
Because they were just so garlicky and smelly.
And the garlic sauce went on the sausage, chips and beans.
I never had it. You always had it.
I always had it.
Yeah.
Not on
the,
beans,
the sausage,
though.
Chips and beans.
No.
No.
What were you? Were you kebab?
Well, no.
Here we go.
I mean,
the office. You
were present when this happened because you came to a show and I've talked about it on the podcast before, so we won't go into details. The day that I accidentally ate four pizzas and didn't realise. And I finished off by going to Dirty Jane's and having the doner kebab pizza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's too much, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's too much for anyone.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Your dream main course.
Dream main course, roast. The full works. And I'm not talking like, okay, there are different levels of roast in our house. There's a mini roast.
Yeah.
Now, a mini roast is something that we'll do for the kids.
This fucking house, man.
This house
is making
like
me laugh.
I love it.
A mini roast is the kind of roast that I can cook a mini roast in probably about 35 minutes. And it's something that I'd have on a weekday. And we're kind of cutting a lot of corners on the mini roast. It's sort of like do your stuffing in the microwave kind of territory.
Right. 35 minutes, you must be cutting a hell of a lot of corners.
Yeah, no potatoes. So that's the key thing,
okay.
Which I'm fine with. Now, the other main thing you have to know about all the roasts, whether they're mini, I would say mini Sunday roast, Christmas dinner,
right.
And the Christmas dinner is a fancy one, and that's probably the one we're talking about. But all of those share one thing in common, which I think is quite unique, is I have all of them with rice. No, but it is completely.
It's the emphatic way you said that.
It's completely true. And, you know, I mean, we've already established my mum and dad aren't listening to this. But so my dad's from Trinidad. Yeah. So we all, pretty much every meal was always served with rice when I was growing up. And I love rice. Like, I mean, I probably have it at least once a day. That can't be that. No, I don't mean that. I mean at least every other day.
Most days.
Yeah.
But a roast. The carbs of a roast for me, and don't get me wrong, I love roast potatoes, but the carb of a roast is just like a massive mountain of rice.
Uh-huh.
So a mini roast, do you want me to go through all of them?
Yes.
So a mini roast for me, it's an already cooked chicken that I'll then pop in the oven. Mm. If I get the timings right, I'll try and really quickly make some stuffing. And when I say stuffing, I like something that's called sloppy stuffing, which is basically where you overwater it, put butter in it, and it still comes. It just comes out as like a really viscous liquid, like tar or something. And you almost pour it over the chicken like a sauce. I just realized how mad it all sounds. But it is just true.
Got to ask about sloppy stuffing.
Sloppy stuffing,
is that... You've called it that, or is it just a pre-existing thing?
Becca calls it a thing
that people just know about.
No.
I don't know.
So, well, you said, what is called sloppy stuffing?
Oh, well, no, I mean in our household.
In your house,
Becca came up with that term. Becca came up with that term, and Becca doesn't eat it, I should say. She likes stiff. Well, traditional stuffing.
She likes stuffing, yeah.
But I don't like it in the bowl. The reason it came about is because I would always pop a bit of butter in the stuffing, right? When you're making it up. And then you just really like butter. So I think I sort of started adding more and more butter. Mm. Realised that's unhealthy, so I just add more water.
Mm.
And the stuffing balls are always just dry. I've never had a stuffing ball wherever I've eaten, whether I've eaten at home or out or any, like, that's not just been dry. Mm. Are they meant to be dry? They're not.
But I guess there's just not much meat content in those, right?
So, no, there's no meat in the ones that I make. So these are like the veggie ones. So this is like the Paxo, pour it in a whatever. And I'm using, and we make it in this, we've got this one Pyrex jug, measuring jug.
Yeah.
It's a bit chipped at the side. I mean, I've had it, I think, for 25 years.
Yeah.
That's what we do porridge in. It's what we do stuffing in. It's what we do beans in. It's going in the microwave.
Yeah. What you feed the dog out of.
And sloppy.
It's the extra details that are added in.
Yeah, the chip.
It's just got a chip on the side. I mean, what?
No, no one needs to know. I know.
Oh, I love it.
I think a lot of it is just tiredness.
It's such a vivid picture of your life.
Yeah.
Well, so let me finish the... So the mini roast, it's a chicken that goes...
Chicken?
No, sorry, the chicken breast. Usually, you can get packs of two chicken breasts already roasted, but I'll pop it in the oven. Yeah. Pop in the... So do some stuffing, like really sloppy liquidy, stuffing. Pop it in the thing. It's never gonna solidify, and I know that.
Too much butter
and
water.
In half an hour. Yeah. And then I'll have lots of... And then rice... Mm. Greens, so it's either going to be broccoli, runner beans, or green beans, or something
but
like
just
that.
One of them?
Sprouts. No. A lot. I'll eat a lot of greens.
Oh, so for mini roasters, getting like a lot of greens, three types of greens.
Tons of greens. Possibly a tin of sweet corn.
Okay, this is a mini roaster.
How are you cooking the greens?
Oh, just boiling them or steaming. Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then obviously cheese on top of those.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of cheese?
Any. Cheddar.
That's great. That grated cheddar bag's coming out.
That grated cheddar's back out the fridge. Cheddar, I will occasionally just buy a big old cheese sauce that you meant to put on pasta and just pop that on top.
How does that go with the sloppy stuffing?
Absolutely great. And you put in gravy, hot pepper sauce on all of it. That's from my dad.
So this mini roast sounds massive, Nick.
Oh, yeah, and I think the mini isn't sort of in terms of the amount of food. I think mini almost just suggests the time of day that you'd have it. Not the time of day, but the time in the week you'd have it. So it's not a Sunday, and it's not Christmas Day.
It's not an event.
It's not an event. So
it's
mini,
midweek roast.
Yeah. I would also, mini doesn't really describe it very well. I would also argue with the term roast.
Most of this isn't being
roasted. Well, the chicken's roasted.
No, it's pre-cooked and then you warm it up.
But it is pre-cooked, it was roasted.
Right.
Someone roasted it.
Someone roasted it. You're boiling the veg.
I did.
You're microwaving everything else.
Yeah. And by the way, occasionally I'll switch out the chicken for a corn scallop. But that's it.
But
I don't eat much red meat, so okay. I wouldn't like... try and do topside of beef or something in 30 minutes.
In 30 minutes, no. So that's the mini roast.
That's the mini roast. So on a Sunday, so the only thing that is really you're adding to a Sunday is then it becomes a bit more of an event because it's us with the kids and everything. So then you might add Yorkshire puddings to it and probably a bit more veg, like a carrot and sweet.
Well, hang on, everything else is the same?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
I thought you were going to say you roasted a...
Oh, no.
Chicken.
No. Oh, well, no.
It's still warming.
I think, if I'm honest, it does sound bad, but yeah, I think so. And we'll occasionally do sausages with it, though, because we love sausages and the kids like sausages, and there's sort of the pigs in blanket feel about it. And, that makes it a bit more of an event, but we'll add like carrot and sweet mash. Yorkshire puddings, and there's something else that we would add if it was like a Sunday. Oh, roast potatoes. So we would then properly do roast potatoes.
Yeah, okay.
And do you still have rice?
I will always have rice.
So roast potatoes are there, but you will have rice as well?
Yeah, I'll have like a few roast potatoes, but they're always like the favourite of like, the kids and Becca. Mm. And so I'll let them polish those off. Uh-huh. And I can just always just have more rice.
What kind of rice are you having?
Oh, God. Uncle Ben's, pretty much. It's the best. It is the best.
Is it plain? Plain rice?
Oh, yeah. But we have got into the habit of getting pouches every so often because it is quick and easy. And Tilda do a huge range. And they're nice as little, not pick-me-up. You'd never describe it as pick-me-up. But they're nice. They're nice.
Rice.
They're just nice to kind of have in. I just want something really quick and easy. A pick-me-up.
Little rice.
What terrible sea means, isn't it?
Just have a pouch of Tilda.
Just have a big pouch of rice. It's for two people. And it's got a weird flavour to it. Shouldn't say that. I love Tilda. Tilda Swinton, we call it at home.
Yeah?
Do you call it Tilda Swinton.
You call it Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. I think if I...
I would occasionally have a basmati one of those when you were saying... American long grain is the go-to, but I would have a basmati Tilda Swinton.
I think if I nip round to your house, I wouldn't understand a word that you and your wife were saying to each other.
No, there's so much code.
Yeah.
And that's just like food. There's so much code. Oh, I love it though.
Mini roast, sloppy stuffing, Tilda Swinton, summer cocktail.
Tortilla lasagna, I think you're forgetting.
Oh, God. So that's what's special about Sunday roast. But then what we're having today in the Dream Restaurant is basically Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
But the thing about Christmas dinner is I'm probably really referring to the Christmas dinner that I got served at home in Leeds, which, because my mum and dad are actually very good cooks. My dad cooks a lot of Caribbean food. My mum cooked a lot of Greek food. And because of the nature of... whatever Christmas Eve was. Now, Christmas Eve would sometimes be like my mum would cook meatballs and stuff, vine leaves, and my dad would always do like a spicy rice with everything. There would often be some of that left. So Christmas dinner was everything I basically described. Huh. Not sloppy stuffing because they weren't into that. But we would add like meatballs and stuff vine leaves to this.
Oh, yeah.
But then the weirdest one was when we then got into a habit of, because the local Chinese takeaway at home in Leeds, when I would go to Leeds for Christmas, like now we have it as a, Becca and I have a family with the kids in London, and then would visit my parents in the week between Christmas and New Year's. So it's not as elaborate anymore. But we would always have a Chinese takeaway on Christmas Eve because it always was open on Christmas Eve. And my mum was like, oh, well, we don't want, you know, we want everything kind of clean and ready for Christmas Day. We'll set the table. But then I would sometimes have the leftover Chinese takeaway as part of Christmas dinner.
Wow.
And that's adding, that is a step too far. And I'm not suggesting that for the dream restaurant. I just thought I'd mention it.
But you're not suggesting it because you think it's a step too far? If you would like it,
I think,
Nick,
I think it's quite a nice idea.
A little bit of it then, yeah. So that's basically a little bit of beef satay. It's chicken fried rice over long grain rice if there's enough left. Mm. But then I can always top it up with long grain rice. And like a bit of chow mein, usually like a chicken chow mein or something like that. And then you just have your full roast.
Are you
pigs in blanket?
So chicken fried rice, chicken chow mein,
beef satay.
Oh, are you talking about what I would order from a Chinese now?
No. We're talking about what the Christmas dinner roast is. So what you've got on the plate.
I'll tell you absolutely everything, and I'm not making it up. So it's a roast. Now,
no one thinks you're making any of this up.
Okay, so my again, don't eat tons of red meat, but we would usually have lamb.
Yeah.
But I think it's a generation thing of thinking that lambs, and like if it's pink means you can't eat it,
right,
basically. So it was always, and still is, and no one's had the heart to tell them, but it's always hideously overcooked.
Yeah.
So it's really dry. But so you're like, oh,
dream meal.
Yeah.
So you want that. You want the really dry lamb.
Well, for kind of like nostalgic reasons. So really overcooked lamb.
Yep, disgusting.
Okay, so lamb. Yep. Then we've got just your normal bisto gravy, which nowadays actually gives me the runs, if I'm honest.
Okay.
But and I don't know why.
We've
since had it, and we can't hack it. I think it's because we're used to veggie gravy now and stuff. So I think this meat gravy is a bit too
heavy.
But I'd like it for this meal.
So your diarrhea. Yeah. Okay.
Straight after.
So
we've got that. Great. So Yorkshire puddings, which I would make myself. Now, the thing again is I sort of half followed a recipe probably when I was 15, and then I thought I knew it. Mm-hmm. So they would always be very doughy, very eggy, like over egged.
Okay.
Would rise, but I would add things to them. I'd add like herbs to them, like, and stuff like that. Mint sauce. I do sometimes put stir mint sauce on it. It's quite a good thing. And then they have a slight mint flavour to them. They're very nice.
But they're quite doughy.
But they're really doughy and quite heavy. But my family got used to them, and everyone was like, oh, Nicholas does make really nice Yorkshire pudding. And then it became like, this is, I think, the thing of my childhood. I was always sort of told that it was fine, and actually it was mad.
Yeah.
Yes. What did you make? Minty
Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah.
So then rice, we've talked about, maybe those Chinese things, pigs in blankets. There might be a meatball on there. There might be a stuffed vine leaf on there. And then in terms of veg, so roast potatoes, obviously, in terms of veg, carrots, parsnips, peas, sweet corn, broccoli, green beans. I'd always then put a little bit of like French mustard on like the green beans.
Okay.
Put a bit of salt on the Yorkshire pudding, the roast potatoes. Put a bit of black pepper on the rice, weirdly. Uh-huh. Still do that now. Bit of lemon on the chicken.
Right, okay. Mm,
that's a Greek thing. Squeezing lemon.
And there's chicken on this as well?
Yeah, there's a roast chicken.
Yes. There's not. If we had chicken, we'd put lemon. I wouldn't put lemon on the lamb. Mm. And then hot pepper sauce. Uh-huh. And then the weirdest thing that I think my mum still does now, unless it's an IBS thing, is she wouldn't possibly have it now.
Because she's got IBS.
Try and guess what she would then have with it, and it got me into it. And then I only ever have it now if I go home and have a roast. But I would never. But guess what she then has with it?
A massive pot of coffee.
No, it's a solid and it's a vegetable.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about the glossing over the IBS thing made me laugh so much.
There's a lot of glossing over that's happening here.
Cauliflower?
No.
I mean, if it clearly it's going to be something that's very, you said it's very weird.
Marrow?
No, you're kind of edging sort of closer. I'll just try to say
squash?
No, it's just a big piece of raw onion. She just a nice big piece of raw onion that she just have with it. White onion, yeah. And it's really not, it is really not, like you just chop off little bits of it during the meal and have it with it. But it is really weird. But we've been so kind of accustomed to it. Like, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. So you've got the big bit of raw. So you've had like the chopped up raw onion on your poppadoms.
And my dad would always get really annoyed because he'd just sit down and my mum's like, Majid, the onion. And so then he'd have to go and peel an onion and like chop it into four. So that's what I'm having.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, one of the worst.
And also,
one of the worst we've ever had.
And also, when you see, oh God, I hit the mic. When you see it, and I actually got the giggles the other day because we did have a roast on Sunday, and I just looked at it and I was starving because I'd been jogging, and that's the worst time to then cook.
Yeah.
Because then you just cook too much. And I just looked at it on the plate. I was sort of halfway through it and then just looked at it and was like, oh my God, what is it? It was so messy. It was just so sloppy. Like, it was just because there's gravy and there's rice
cheese
floating
sauce,
around,
sloppy stuffing,
cheese sauce, hot pepper, everything. And oh God, what are we teaching the kids?
Is there a dream side dish to go with that monstrosity?
I think I've got all the side dishes on the
plate.
Like it. I think I've got them all. If I was eating out, then, like, and it was a roast, I would order like cauliflower cheese on the side, or macaroni. That's one good thing about having kids. You can always add a side of like, oh, let's get some macaroni cheese because the kids will eat it, and then I could just eat it.
And you can have it.
Yeah, so that's good.
Do you like the pimped up macaroni cheese when you have like other things in there?
Yeah, I do. I remember actually at the end of Ted Lasso, they had like, as like a wrap party thing, they had like van, like street food van, because when it was kind of still COVID, so we had to do it outside, but they got a load of street food vans, and one was a fancy mac and cheese thing, and it was great. You could add like bacon and all sorts. It's very nice.
Brett going nowhere near that van, I imagine.
No, Brett's too stacked for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't like carbs.
Not touching carbs.
Good old Brett.
Yeah.
I love Brett.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. We like him.
Yeah. Love it, Brett.
Dream drink, then. Now, you've already hinted at the wine earlier because you asked me if you were having it.
Nice glass of very cold Riesling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice.
Talking my language.
Yeah. Absolutely delicious. Just perfect. But with it, I would have just a glass of Coke.
Okay.
And I've got into a habit of, in a restaurant, ordering a glass of Riesling and a glass of Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of go between the two. That's
mix
weird,
them?
Isn't it?
Calamacho?
Don't mix them.
Calamacho?
Don't mix them. But
Calamacho, if you mix
Calamacho.
I
think it has to be red wine to be Calamacho.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, but I love it. But because I just love a Coca-Cola. It's delicious, but you know, you can't have too much of it. But it is delicious.
How sweet a Riesling are we talking?
I think quite sweet. I mean, the really sweet ones give me a headache.
Yeah.
Well,
and you're kind of edging into dessert wine territory, and
yes,
that
absolutely
definitely gives me a headache. But no, so quite sweet, but not too much. But oh, absolute!
I love Riesling.
Bliss. My
I'm
wife
obsessed
and I
with Riesling.
Just love it.
Yeah, I know you're obsessed with Riesling.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
obsessed.
We went to a wine tasting just before Becca fell pregnant. I say fell pregnant as if I had nothing to do with it.
It's like the 19th century.
Yeah, she fell. She's been cursed.
Living in a Thomas Hardy book.
She fell pregnant.
We went for a wine tasting at the good wine shop. They do like sort of pop-up things in their shops. And it was great. We know nothing about wine, but we like wine. And I mean, if I'm honest, we're meant to be taking it quite seriously. We just got very, very drunk, and progressively through the wine tasting, all our notes became just rude. And you know, our conversation with the people we didn't know there just became weirder, weirder and weirder and weirder. But it was lots of fun.
Do you have a specific Riesling that you like that you drink at home, or if you saw it on a menu, you'd order it?
No, we'll sort of try anything. Now there was one from the, I'm going to find it.
Hang on,
I'll find it from the phone.
Can I just check for you how you're pacing your mouthfuls back and forth between the two drinks?
I think it's literally one in, one out. What's it? just alternating. When did we go for this wine tasting?
Just pissing yourself while you're drinking.
Hang on.
you imagine spitting. I was imagining it coming out the
coming
dick.
Out your dick.
Where is it? Oh, here we go.
Immediate.
Oh, no. That's Finn's report.
Yeah. It is a similar vibes as well of like a guest who, you know, you've got a bigger history with than me. Like, with Joe Thomas, when I was like, oh, this is what this person's like.
Yes.
And obviously I've met Nick over the years and had nice chats and everything, but now I feel like, oh, okay.
Oh, no, he's mad.
It's this guy.
I've listened to this. I mean, I was at university with Joe. I mean, I know that Joe.
Yeah,
was Joe.
Yeah.
That was just one of the purest, most magnificent episodes ever. So this is from the Good Wine Shop. So these were all Rieslings. But the one that we gave 111 out of 10. Now this,
this you and your wife just absolutely wasted.
But look at the doodles.
Oh my God, it looks like the Joker's done it.
I know.
It looks like it's on the wall of Arkham Asylum.
We went mad.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's one of the few nights we're out with not the kids, so we just went for it. What does it say under 111 out of 10?
Well, you've started. I mean. So number one is an Austrian 2019 Riesling.
Yeah.
And you've written citrus. And then I don't think you've done this at the time, because I think you get drunker and drunker as you go through.
Right.
So someone's drawn some lemons, I think.
That would be Becca, yeah.
Yeah. Crushed stone for the next one, 6 out of 10. You didn't like
Crushed
that.
Crushed stone?
Yeah.
Is that what we described it as?
Yeah. Huh? Crushed stone. I think that's a good Riesling.
That's
note.
All right.
Like
yeah,
slate
yeah.
is used
yeah,
a lot
yeah,
for
Yeah, that's
Riesling.
True, yeah.
Fresh. And then sugar with some lines drawn around it. There's a German one here, and it's 5 out of 10. Becca versus Rachel, gone off, and cheese with a tick next to it.
What?
I don't know what any of that means. Oh, God.
10 out of 10 for the New Zealand, off dry.
That's the one we got. It was the New Zealand one we got.
1983.
Yeah, because then we went and got a bottle of it from that year, I think, from
right.
the shop.
I mean, there's some... 10 out of 10 for the South African. And the only note, mad winemaker.
Oh, I think he was mad.
Uh-huh.
And the Oregon one, you've just written 13.8% and £30 and circled it.
Then we were asking how much it cost.
And then the bottom, number 9, you've just written left to rot. Arthur asleep, 7:15, fin drawing. That's what it says at the bottom.
That would have been the update from Becca's dad.
And that got written down on the thing.
Yeah, just so we didn't forget.
So which Riesling do you want from there?
Oh, that one. That
the
I
Oregon
said,
one.
Yeah, the Oregon one. Yeah, that's the one that we bought, I think. But then I think it was that thing if we bought it and then we're like, oh, it didn't taste as nice as we remembered.
Okay,
yeah.
So another thing on the menu that
did you buy a different?
Good.
Did you buy a different vintage?
No. We specifically bought the right vintage. So, yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Well, you were absolutely blasted the last
time. I think that was the thing. I think
hammered.
We were just getting more and more.
I don't think I've ever had Riesling from Oregon. I'm going to stop talking now because I can feel my boring self coming bubbling up to the surface.
I love that you like wine, Ed. We should give some wine.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, let's give some wine.
I actually bought quite a lot of Riesling recently.
Oh, yeah.
And put it in my members' reserves at the Wine Society. So in 20 years' time, we can have a great party.
Have you got a wine fridge?
No. I keep it all in a warehouse in Stevenage.
Do you?
Wow,
we went to a wine tasting at the bottom of a big yellow storage in like Wimbledon somewhere.
What?
underneath because they kind of
that wasn't a wine tasting,
right.
Nick. What were you drinking? White Lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, we broke in. No, it was a proper wine. They had a massive wine cellar down there because it's got a certain temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did the wine tasting in a big yellow storage.
Oh wow.
It's really good. Yes, James.
What?
I don't know. I thought you looked like you were gonna
no,
say something.
No, I didn't say anything. I was just enjoying it. We arrive at your dream dessert.
Yes. It's very straightforward.
Yes?
Mm. It's a melt-in-the-middle chocolate pudding, but I'm going to pop it in the middle of it. So you pop it in the microwave, obviously. Yeah. Pierce the what's-its. Pop it in the microwave upside down. Peel it or whatever.
You want a microwave.
It has to be microwavable, yeah. And I'm not going to steam it.
You don't want one made by a nice chef.
No.
A microwavable one.
Not a shit one.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they're always a treat. If you're at home,
they're a treat. They are delicious. They always have the red. You know,
this whole thing. This is one of the worst menus
that you've ever had.
Yeah.
I love it, though.
Oh, yeah. That's what's important.
A melt-in-the-middle chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
Now, distinctly not the ones that it's the sponge and then the sauce is on the top. Proper, the things
in the middle.
What's they called? Chocolate fondant. Yeah. So that, but then a couple of slices of chocolate orange, shove it in the middle so it melts in the middle of it because it's still really red hot. And then it becomes
so
nice.
So post-microwave, you're shoving
post-microwave,
in the chocolate orange.
You shove them in.
Like
leave it for a minute because they're literally red hot.
Yeah.
And then... and eat it. It's delicious, like liquidy chocolate orange.
No cream or anything or ice cream with it. No. Straight out the pot.
No, I pop it in a bowl actually. Yeah. Well, because it's all upside down in a bowl sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Cat bowl.
Oh, did you say cat bowl?
Cat bowl.
Oh yeah. All right.
Cat bowl for dessert.
I was going to say the dog bowl's metal, so you wouldn't put it in the microwave.
No.
Nip that riff in the bud.
Yeah.
But it would be the cat bowl.
Nick, this menu, man.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, don't you ever be sorry. I love it.
I just vowed that I would always tell the truth on this show.
Yeah.
We make everyone take that vow before they come on.
Yeah. I feel like I've got a lot of good friends. Shout out to Vix and Paul who listen to this show. My wife loves the show. A lot of friends listen to it, and they know what I eat. And yeah. I'm not going to pretend to be.
They'll call you out.
They'd call me out.
Nick, this has all been a wonderful insight into your home life.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic.
I'm going to read you your menu back to you now, Nick. See how you feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to feel great actually.
Water. You want still water with ice and orange and mango Robinson's creations.
Mm-hmm.
Poppadoms with bread. Poppadoms with dips and the onion salad. Starter. Tortilla lasagna. Made at home. Main course, Christmas dinner roast, which includes dry lamb, gravy, minty Yorkshires, rice, leftover Chinese takeaway, pigs in blankets, a meatball, a stuffed vine leaf, carrots, parsnips, peas, sweet corn, green beans, roast potatoes, hot pepper sauce, sloppy stuffing and half a raw onion.
It ends well.
And it should, just to specify, the gravy gives
me the runs. Yeah.
Yes,
and on the green beans, a tiny little bit of French mustard, the brown one. Is that the brown one?
Yeah,
brown one.
Drink, the 111 out of 10 very cold Riesling and a Coca-Cola back and forth. Dessert, microwaved chocolate fondant with two segments of Terry's chocolate orange stuck in the middle.
It is a mad one, isn't it?
I quite like it reading it back. Obviously, the main course is disgusting. I don't want to go anywhere near it.
Yeah,
the main course is sort of like a buffet, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But of all, texturally, I'd say all pretty much the same. Everything's just sort of a big old slop.
Yeah, similar vibes.
Yeah.
But the dessert's fine.
The dessert's nice. I think pimping up a dessert at home. Yeah. I'm always in favour of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it feels like you're doing a science experiment as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Nick, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you for having me. Do bear in mind,
if you thought the Twitter backlash after Ted Lasso season 2 was bad, wait for what's going to happen after this.
Yeah, you're dead meat.
Oh, God, I literally don't know what to do.
Absolutely dead meat. They're going to tear you to shreds.
But good luck to you. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
There we are. I mean, I love seeing Nick and I love chatting to Nick. He is genuinely one of the loveliest men that I know.
Yes.
But that menu was shocking.
What a shocking menu. That main course is a nightmare disaster.
Also, when he was talking about things he has in his house, like sloppy stuffing, you saw him realise live how weird that sounds.
Yeah. Especially when he wouldn't... Sometimes he would say, we call it sloppy stuffing, but sometimes he would say, it's known as this.
Known as sloppy stuffing, yeah.
As if it's a thing that exists out in the world, and it isn't.
No, it doesn't exist.
It's just in Nick's house.
Yeah.
What an experience that was for me, that whole, you know, I've had many conversations with Nick over the years, but never one that long and that revealing.
Yes. Yeah, we loved it. That's why Off Menus...
We absolutely love
it. The greatest podcast in the world.
Yes, that's why we are number one.
Wow.
Huh?
Huh?
I don't check the charts.
Okay. Yes, that's why we're number one. Thank you very much to Nick for coming in. Please go and see Nick on tour. Nick Mohammed, the very best and worst of Mr. Swallow. Go to berksnest.com/Nick for details. You got to go.
And thank you, Nick, for not saying Bran Flakes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Bless you, Nick.
We'll happily plug your tour. Yes. You did not say Bran Flakes.
Yes.
But, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if that had turned up on that roast.
No, I mean, yeah, sprinkled over the top. A liberal handful of Bran Flakes all over the sloppy stuffing. At least it would have been a change in texture.
In fact, you know, when he said, you know, my mum probably doesn't do this now because of IBS, but here's what she has on the plate.
Yeah.
That could have been a handful of Bran Flakes.
That could have been a handful of Bran Flakes. She's having a raw onion. She might have had a handful of Bran Flakes.
Not a million miles away.
Come and see me in Australia if you are that way geographically inclined, and New Zealand, edgamble.co.uk for details on that.
That's when Ed's the funniest. You're the funniest when you're south Antipodes, when you're in the... Antipodes.
We will see you next week for another episode of Off Menu.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.